Charles Burns draws comic books for adults. He combines elements of science fiction, horror, and monster movies, comics, and pulps, into stories that he hopes describe the horror of real life. Many readers know his work from Raw, the magazine of avant-garde comics and graphics. Charles Burns' series of hard-boiled defective stories are collected in a new book. Defective stories is the perfect description for these bizarre detective stories. All the characters are deformed and repulsive. They're bored, dissatisfied, alienated, and hopelessly pessimistic. The detective of the series is named El Borba. Burns modeled him physically on the Mexican wrestlers that he saw in Mexican comic books and wrestling magazines when he lived in Southern California.
He's about 350 pounds, drinks beer, smokes cigarettes, and he's basically a money-grubbing, self-serving sort of guy. His whole character was based on Mexican wrestlers that wear masks, little leotards. So he's an ex-Mexican wrestler who's turned detective.
Now, occasionally, El Borba will say, "I'll have to give him one of my frog punches," or "I'll have to give him the double claw." Are these things you've made up, or are they really wrestling moves?
They're not really wrestling moves. They're things that things we did to each other when we were kids, like giving a kid a Dutch rub and just rubbing their head with your knuckles, or an Indian burn was just all those things were just. So, in other words, rather than taking actual wrestling moves, I've kind of made it a lot stupider by having little kids things involved.
One of the El Borba stories in your new book is it's a series of stories called Living in the Ice Age. And in this series of stories, there's a man who decides that he's near death, but he wants to live. So he figures out a way to graft his head onto the body of a baby.
Right.
So you have this great image that you've created of a 47-year-old guy with this real rug on his head, a real toupee kind of hairdo, mm-hmm. with a little spoon of hair coming down. He's smoking a cigar, real square jaw. And it's on this big head is on the body of this little baby. It is so grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that image is the ultimate expression of alienation between the body and the mind.
Right. Yeah, that's a reoccurring image that I use all the time. The split between the mind and the body, and also, well, again, physical horror of the body.
I have to ask you, what is the most repulsive image you've ever seen?
I've ever seen or ever made?
I've seen a lot of the repulsive images you've made. How about one of each? The most repulsive image you've ever seen and the most repulsive image you've ever made?
Repulsive image I've ever made. I can only think of one that I've done. The one I've done recently is a kid in a school room, and the room kind of turns to flesh and starts filling up with blood. That doesn't sound too descriptive, but anyway, being in a small enclosed room and having the room fill up with flooded with blood.
And having the walls turn to flesh?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty horrible.
Yeah, okay, that's horrible enough. I guess a lot of my work revolves around horror of the body. And again, you were mentioning before about the alienation between that mind and the body. I guess that would fit under the same heading of physical horror.
Have you read any medical texts or sat in on any operations to see what it's really like underneath the skin?
Just the opposite. I guess the way I can, for me, that's true horror, and it's something that I really try to, I really don't involve myself with ever, but I guess the way I deal with it is by writing about it and drawing about it. But it's nothing that I ever, you know, I don't run to bad accidents and take photos or anything like that.
There's a blurb on your book by R. Crumb, mm-hmm. the cartoonist, and he says, "It's almost as if the artist, it's as if he weren't quite human."
Right.
I thought that's a great quote, and that probably a lot of people have that impression of you, that since you draw such otherworldly, bizarre-looking, grotesque people, that perhaps you're really odd-looking yourself.
Right.
And I'm here to tell our listeners that you certainly aren't.
Believe her. It's true.
Go ahead.
The extremes. I mean, usually everyone expects me to either be some guy, some hermit that's been living underground, is in his 50s, and is working this weird, old-fashioned style, or some guy who has I don't know, a mohawk and scars on his face and so on. Either one of those two extremes, but a mild-mannered, normal sort of guy is not the image I project, I guess.
One of the few things that I think I know about your life is that your father was an amateur comic artist, that it was like a hobby for him, and he liked them?
Not
See, I don't even
entirely.
Know that about your life.
No. There's some truth in that. Not entirely, but it was a situation where I was growing up. He was... where most parents, I think, would be very against the idea of reading comics. My father actually had a real love for comics, so he checked out books out of the library, collections of old comics from the library, and he had purchased books himself. And he did, I think early on, I've seen two examples, I think, of comics that he did when he was in school, so I kind of looked at those and admired those. There was a certain amount of encouragement in that sense. It wasn't frowned upon. It wasn't looked at as just trash.
And in that respect, you're almost like the product of an experiment. What would it be like if a child grew up in a home where comics were not only banned, but they were encouraged?
Yeah. That's funny.
Let me ask you about another character that you draw. You have a character called Dog Boy. Would you describe the character and how you came up with it?
Well, let's see. When I was working as a bus boy in downtown Philadelphia, and I was taking the train back from work one day, and I just had an image in my mind of feeling like a dog boy. So just that name stuck in my head. When I came home, I did a little drawing of someone who this boy who has an operation, and because he can't afford a normal heart, he has a black Labrador heart sewn in. And as a result, his emotional makeup is kind of doggy, so he takes on a lot of dog-like characteristics.
Such as
probably some things I can't mention on the air, but sleeping in a doghouse. Let's see, what else?
Sniffing people's private parts at parties.
Yes, yeah, exactly. licking faces, chasing cars.
Why did you want to draw and write comics as opposed to using any other form, movies, books?
Well, it's something I grew up with it, and eventually I decided I just wanted to be able to communicate ideas in a very personal form. One thing that's very nice is that it's not like... it's just something you can do entirely on your own. I can sit in the room with a blank sheet of paper and some pens, and everything is done by myself. I don't have to depend on anyone else.
When Raw Magazine started publishing your comics, did it give you a kind of encouragement to keep doing what you were doing?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like maybe it wasn't totally unmarketable and without any audience. You must have felt like you were really a loner at
this. What I was doing before, I mean, that was really at the point that I had work published in Raw Magazine. That really kind of started a seriousness for myself about trying to write and try to do good stories. And I guess also to have my work taken seriously, to think about actually having an audience.
It seems that novelistic type comics and, art comics are getting more attention. Raw Magazine is now being published by Pantheon. I think a lot of publishers are trying to get on the bandwagon with this. Has this been good for you? I mean, do you feel like you're getting more exposure, that this success, the recent success of art comics is helping?
I'll probably know in a few months, seeing how this book does. I don't know. It's like, it could be very good. It could be just a fad, too. I mean, there's I think with most popular mediums, whether it's film or comics or whatever, about 99% of it's generally going to be fairly trashy. So hopefully some good stuff will come out of the popularity of the new popularity, but I really have no idea if it's going to be good for me or bad for me.
Charles, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Okay.
Charles Burns' new book of comics, Hard-Boiled Defective Stories, is part of Pantheon's new Raw series.